So we're in the middle of discussing the mitzvah of Talmud Torah for women. And we're basing ourselves on the drasha that the Gemara makes of Limadatem Osam Ez Beneichem, Beneichem Lo Benoseichem. So we know that women are not chayiv in some form of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. They're not chayiv to learn it, and therefore, since they're not chayiv to learn it, no one else is chayiv to teach them. And since no one is chayiv to teach them, they're not chayiv to teach anybody else. And therefore, any learning that a woman wants to do is going to be begeder eina mitzuvah v'osa. And we said further that, according to the Beis HaLevi, there is a chilek between learning that women are chayiv to do and women that learning that women are not chayiv to do. Women are chayiv to learn the dinim that are shayich to them, the dinim that they themselves have to fulfill, which, as we mentioned many times, is the rove of Torah. But they're not chayiv to learn it, says the Beis HaLevi, begeder the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. They're chayiv to learn those mitzvahs, begeder some type of a preparation, some type of a hechsher mitzvah to do those mitzvahs. But that he brought numerous rayas, four main rayas, that those were not, that the chayiv to learn those mitzvahs is not considered the mitzvah of Talmud Torah at all. Rather, it's a preparation for doing the actual mitzvahs that they have to do. So if a woman wants to daven properly, so she's learning Meseches Brachos, let's say she's learning Perek Tefillas HaShachar, right? So because she holds like the Rambam, that women are chayiv min HaTorah to daven, or she holds like the Ramban, that women are chayiv midrabanan to daven Shachar and Mincha, let's say. So she wants to know the halachas of how to daven. So she's learning Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, she's learning Meseches Brachos, whatever it is. That's not the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, that's the mitzvah of Tefillah. It doesn't look very much like Tefillah, it looks like Talmud Torah. Yeah, so the Talmud Torah that she's doing is begeder eina mitzvah v'yosa, but she's not mitzvah to learn Hilchos Tefillah per se, she's mitzuvah to daven, and as a echi timtza to daven, she has to learn Hilchos Tefillah, because otherwise you can't do it. And therefore it's not a chelik of real Talmud Torah, certainly not in terms of the tzibur. Okay, that is all what we saw up until this point. Now we're moving on to the idea of Talmud Torah for women, specifically as it pertains to whether or not it's a good idea. So it's certainly a good idea to learn the dinim mashayachim lahen, as we've mentioned. But in general, what is the status of Talmud Torah l'nashim? So we come to the Mishnah in Maseches Sota on Daf Chaf, and the Mishnah is discussing if she has a zechus, then zechus tole beis shanim v'yesh zechus tole gimel shanim. We mentioned this in passing last time, right? That you can put off the misa that the May Sota bring out by a number of years, based on certain merits that this woman might have. So the Mishnah says, Mikan Omer ben Azai, Chayiv Adam lelamed his bito Torah. From here, ben Azai learned that you have to teach your daughter Torah, Shim Tishte Teida Shezachus Tola La. Because if she drinks the Mesota, she should know that the Zachus is going to delay the Misa. So how do we explain ben Azai? How do we explain Ben Azai? Yeah?
It's for her to know.
So there.
Not to believe like she got away with a sin, but to know that the only reason she's still alive is because she did mitzvahs as well.
Right. So Rashi over here says she should learn from the drushos that we make on the Pasuk. Right? She should learn the Parshas Asota. So she'll know the Alfina on me v'niksa v'nizra azera. V'niksa yedei zechuyos kidei zriya zera. So he says she'll know the Parsha Sota, so she'll know that there is such a concept alluded to in the Torah, of having a zechus delay the onset of the punishment, and thus she'll attribute the fact that she didn't die not to the fact that the Torah is a big joke and nothing really that it says in there actually happens, because look at me, I violated all the Isurim that there are, and nothing happened to me. Rather, she'll understand what's going on here. She'll understand that, by the way, there's also something else that she would think, now the irony is she wouldn't think it if she didn't learn Torah, But what would be the thought if anybody learned Maseches Sota? Yeah, so what would be the thought of a woman who drinks the Mesota and knows she's guilty and nothing happens to her? If you were that woman, what would you think? What? No, she believes in the Mesota. She believes in everything. But what might she think now? There's three opinions in the Medrash as to what it means when it says right? Three opinions in the Medrash. So what's the third opinion in the Medrash? The first one is Rashi quotes saying, "Ah, she's going to die, and you're going to feel guilty." Oh, Elisha haragti bas Yisrael. Oh, Elisha shimashti matameya. Right, so you're going to feel guilty. So the Torah says, "Don't feel guilty. It's her fault." Right. The second opinion is that even when she's innocent, she's not going to be saved from Peronios because she still did Averos. She just didn't do the Avera that we were discussing. Right. And the third opinion is, if the man is guilty, it's a different reading altogether. You read the pasuk, right? V'nikoha ish me'avon. If the man is truly free of sin, then ve'aisha hi tisa savona. Then she will be found guilty and she'll die because of the crime that she committed. But if the man is also guilty of similar sins, meaning she was guilty of stepping out on her husband, and the husband is also stepping out on his wife, then the Mesota will not check. The Mesota will not check the wife either, and she'll be found innocent. So ironically, she could have a different kind of thought of why she was not found guilty. She might think, the reason I was not killed by the Mesota is a riot to me that my husband is cheating on me as well. So granted, that Metzias doesn't play out according to Ben Azai, because Miman of Shach, if she's learning Torah, so she knows there's a concept of Zechus Tolala, so hopefully she learned a little more Torah and she found out that, you know, so she's not, either or, she's either going to know the whole package or she's not going to know it at all. Meaning, how many, raised by a show of hands, how many of you knew about this Medrash before I just said it over? Right? Well, two, I think. Okay, fair enough. That would be if she was a more positive thinker, right? She would think maybe, or maybe there was an Eid Echad that saw her but didn't say anything or whatever. Maybe the husband really saw what happened. There are many other possibilities, but I just think the worst case scenario of what she could be thinking right now is, oh, this is a raya that my husband is cheating on me. So yeah, Lamaisa, Ben Azai wants her to learn Torah so that she'll be aware of the variables and she'll know what's really going on here. But it seems to me, at least, that Ben Azai Shita is that a woman should learn Torah so that it will lead to a glorification of the words of Torah. Since she's learning Torah, she now understands what's going on behind the scenes of the process, and she's not going to make a mockery of the whole thing in her mind. She's not going to think the whole thing is a joke. Yeah.
How would you understand Ben Azai? Is this like a local pain that you should teach her Torah just so in case you do a terrible job of chinuch and she goes wayward and then commits adultery, she'll know that the only reason she's alive is because she learned Torah? Or is this like a general idea that any time like something happens and she's like saved from it, she should know that it's because she did mitzvahs, because she learned Torah? And it's not simply by sota, because if we say it's teaching, this whole idea that you should only teach your daughter Torah is limited to sota, it's a very far-fetched thing that could occur. So like, why would Ben Azai say, go out of your way, teach your daughter Torah in case she, like, you know, goes and commits adultery? Like, it's very far off.
Well, Rashi specifically on the Mishnah says she should learn the Parshas HaSota. Right?
Because that's the subject matter here.
But the Pashtus is, he says, Tireh v'tilmod b'Parshas HaSota. So he's saying, like, it's not going on the Divra Maschil of Mikan Amar Ben Azai. It's going on the Lashon of Teda, right? Shezchus Tolela. So it sounds from Rashi that in her journeys throughout Torah, she will also learn this. Right? I don't think you would say that Rashi says you're only teaching her the Parsha Sota. I think from the placement of the Rashi and the language of the Rashi, it sounds like she will definitely make it her business to come across the Parshas HaSota throughout her journeys through Torah.
So that means according to Ben Azai, you should teach your daughter at least Mikra? Is that what you would infer?
I would infer more than that, in fact. I would infer that you have to teach her some Torah Sheba Al Peh, because if she just learns the Mikra, she'll never know this drasha. You could read the Parshas HaSotah 50 times and not come up with that drasha of V'niksa V'nizra Azera. I don't know. If I wouldn't have seen this Gemara, or this Mishnah at least, I never would have come to that conclusion on my own. I don't consider myself to be the world's greatest darshan, but I also don't consider myself to be the world's worst darshan, that any woman who learns Torah will automatically make that connection. You know, but I would have never necessarily made that connection. So it seems to me that Ben Azai is referring to, at the very least, Torah with the drushos, so that she'll know what drushos Chazal made on these psukim, which in the times of Ben Azai was otherwise known as Torah. In the times of Ben Azai, Torah with the drushos Chazal was Torah. You read the Chumash, he was a Tana. You read the Chumash, you try to figure out what's going on based on the drushos Chazal. He didn't have a Mishnayos, he didn't have a Gemara. So that's what he had. That's what you did. So it's Pasha says Ben Azai is just talking about regular Talmud Torah. You should learn Torah. Stop. Whatever it says in the Torah, whatever you have to say on what it says in the Torah, that's what they should learn. All right. And then we have the two dissenting opinions. You have Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Kol HaMelamed Bito Torah Ki'ilu Melamda Tiflis, or whatever your girsa is in the Mishnah over there. They have on the side over here in the Masoreh Hashas. Right? He says there's different girsos, but it's either Ki'ilu or it's Lomda Tiflis. Either way, it's not on his list of things to do. So he says, Rashi doesn't tell you, he says, look in the Gemara, we'll figure out what that means. And Rabbi Yeshua Omer, seemingly a side point here, Rotze Isha Bekav Vitiflus Mitisha Kabin Uprishus. So she wants a Kav and Tiflus from 9 Kavin and Precious. Right? Strange statement. So let's try to figure out what's going on. Let's look in the Gemara. So the Gemara on Chaf Alpha Mabei says, Tiflis Sulka Daitoch, it's Malam the Tiflis, and that's why they take out that line from the text of the Mishnah, because it probably came from the text of the Gemara. Right? Tiflis Sulka Daitoch, Ela Eima Ki'ilu Malam the Tiflis. Right? Our text says Ki'ilu. So the whole Gemara is Havamina wouldn't exist. So he says, Ki'ilu malam de Tiflis. It's as if. Am Rabbi Avo, my time at the Rabbi Eliezer, dichsiv ani chokhma shachanti orma. Right? So what does that pasuk mean anyway? Did I read it right even? What's the correct nikud there? Anybody have a Tanakh or something? I probably do. Shachanti orma. Right? So what does that mean? Nobody wondered? What?
Doesn't it explain it in the next line?
Yeah, but what do the words mean?
I am wisdom.
Okay. Now you know what to do for homework. So, Kevan shenichnasa chochma ba'adam nichnasa imo armumis. So basically, we darshan. Well, what does shachanti mean? Rest? Dwell, right? I live. A shchuna is a, you know, shachain is a neighbor. Shchuna is a neighborhood, right? So he says, shachanti orma. Right? I live in trickery. I live in, I don't know, some type of, my next door neighbor is trickery, or I live among trickery, or I breed trickery, right? I am wisdom. And I breed trickery. So that's what the Gemara says. What does it mean? When a person becomes wise, a person acquires chachma, nich nesaimo armumis. They also, the byproduct of it seems to be this trickery. So that's how Rabbi Eliezer darshans. So what? So what? So what? So what's so bad about that? So you're teaching them trickery. Okay, so what? So they'll be tricksters, trickstresses. So what? So let's go a little further. So the Chachamim say, nah, that's not the pshat in the pasuk, right? The Chachamim say, hi ani chochma my avil. What do they do with that pasuk? Me boy lay look at Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina. Don't Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina ain't the right term is kaim and alba misha mamid atzmo arum aleihem. It's not a lashon of arma as in mirma, right? Of trickery. It is a lashon of arum, which is nakedness. What, nakedness? So it says shenema ani chochma shekanti arma. So Rashi explains what does that mean? Nakedness. Shepirish mikol asokim menasim aleh ani v'chaser kol. When you sit down to learn, you say to yourself, I'm going to separate myself from my preconceived notions. I'm going to separate myself. I'm going to try to put aside all the outside thoughts that I have going on from everything else, the million other things I have going on in my life right now. And I'm going to concentrate completely on the Torah. Right? So again, he gives a couple of examples over there. He says, he wants to be lomid mikol adam. You want to learn from everybody. A lot of times, you see somebody walking down the street. All right, no need to introduce yourself to me. No need to tell me anything about yourself. I got it. What do you mean, I got it? I took one look at your face. I got it. I know everything there is to know about you. No need to have a conversation, right? Okay, so that's not a good way to be, certainly. But nevertheless, we feel that way even with people we know when it comes to what they have to offer. Ezu chacham alomi mikol adam says, Mr. Pirkei Avot, right? Why do I say that? Because it says that by the Bondis, right? Every other person, all the Henry Fords and the various anti-Semites that they have on the signs that they quoted from, they quoted them by name, but they couldn't quote Rabbi Shimon ben Zoma by name. It wasn't officially called Rabbi Shimon ben Zoma, but Shimon ben Zoma says, Ezu chacham alomi mikol adam. So the bottom line is, if you want to be a chacham, you have to learn from everybody. That means you have to be nasa atzmacha ke'arum. You have to say, I don't know everything. I'm going to push aside my preconceptions about you and what you have to teach me, and about myself and what I already know. You have to say it's very important to always bring the Torah into your mind, or I don't know the way you want to phrase it. You can make it work either way, right? You don't want to, you want to say, I have a mind. I have a way of looking at the world. Good word. I have a Weltanschauung, right? And I want to now incorporate the Torah as part of my worldview. I want to incorporate the Torah as part of my hashkaf. No, it's the opposite. You say, listen, the Torah has what it says about things. I'm going to try to understand the Torah. That's it. When you sit down to learn Torah, you say, I'm trying to understand what the Torah has to say. Not, I want to now incorporate Torah into, you know, the various other ways that I view the world. So like then I'll compartmentalize and say, you know, like I have the correct way of viewing the world, and then there's the Chazal way of viewing the world, and then there's the other way. No, you incorporate your way into the Torah way, not the other way around. So that's you have to be nasa arum. That's how Chazal darshan that pasuk. But nothing to do with the Torah making you into a liar, the Torah making you into a trickster, or anything like that. Fine. Yeah.
So do they disagree with them that Torah could teach you how to become crafty?
So that's the question, meaning so you don't learn any craftiness from the Torah? Or that's just not what the Pusik is teaching you? So Pashtus is what? What would you say about that? What would you say? Well, no, nothing was said about women in Rabbi Eliezer's drasha, right? Nothing was said about women.
Not enough to be concerned about. Tells us that something worth being concerned about.
Right, okay. So you say Rabbi Eliezer holds that when it comes to learning Torah, you should be concerned about the fact that you're also learning trickery. Okay, and the Chacham said, whether or not you learn trickery, we're not debating that. The question is that a concern of the Torah itself? Is the Torah itself thinking one of the major byproducts of learning Torah is that you become a trickster? Or no? It's just saying that, listen, whether or not it happens doesn't matter. that's, you know, you should work on yourself to become an honest person the same way, you know, Torah involves a lot of, you know, moving of the thumbs and various ways to prove and disprove other people. So therefore, maybe you shouldn't learn it. Yeah, but Torah is also the Chochmas Hashem. It involves, the Chos Moshe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is emes, just the opposite. It should teach you more how to become more emistic. The more Torah you learn, the more emistic you should become. Because the Torah is about, it's not about proving yourself right and proving the other guy wrong. It's about trying to get to the truth. So you should become a person who's a, you know, he becomes like a heat-seeking missile for truth. The more Torah you learn, the more truthful you can become. So you can argue that if the Torah itself is not telling you that this is an official byproduct of learning Torah, so who am I to say that the Torah will make me more one way than the other way? That could be what they're arguing about. Yeah.
Also, if the issue is the result that we're going to teach them trickery, then it's obviously Torah would be a source for that. That's lav dafka Torah. Teaching them anything that could give them that form of knowledge should be forbidden, according to Rabbi Eliezer.
Yeah, so they shouldn't learn whatever. I don't know, whatever disciplines they learn, they should stay away from it. But I don't know what to say about that. He wasn't willing to make all kinds of gzeris, and it could be that he meant enochanami. It's pashut that way. You shouldn't teach them anything.
So
but
is this advisory, or is this like a takana that he's trying to make?
I don't know if it was a takana. I think it was the opposite. Ben Azai was trying to make a takana. Ben Azai was trying to say, you see, we have to institute Torah learning for women. Why? Because look at the Sota situation. She needs to know the deal. Right? And Rabbi Eliezer is nixing it, and he's saying, no, don't be misakin Talmud Torah for women, because if you're teaching them Torah, you're teaching them Tiflus. So it's almost like a negative, it's a negation of the attempted takana. Not necessarily its own takana. As we'll see, but so far, we're just trying to get down to what they actually said. And then comes along Rabbi Yehoshua is usually the bar plugta of Rabbi Eliezer, but in this case, Rabbi Yehoshua seems to be backing up Rabbi Eliezer. Right? So what does he say? So, skipping a little bit. Mike Omar, what is Rabbi Eliezer talking about? A woman wants only one kav of food, meaning when it comes to gashmius, it comes to living the high life. So a woman would rather live a more modest physical life, in the sense that she should have less to eat, and I guess not such a nice house to live in, etc., etc. But her husband should be around to engage in the mitzvah of ona, rather than have a lavish lifestyle, but have her husband not be around to engage in the mitzvah of ona. That seems to be the way Rashi is learning it. Rashi or Tosus? Both, really. Yeah. Anyway, so that's the take of Rabbi Yeshua, where he seems to be. So what does that have to do with anything? How does that teach us not to teach your wife Torah? How does that teach you not to teach your wife Torah? Yeah.
Maybe it just shows that she does care about Tiflis. In this case, it was a mother, sort of wife, or with her husband, but it's on her mind.
Right.
So if someone is teaching her Torah, which leads to cleverness, might lead also to bad things.
Uh-huh. So he's saying it's on her radar much more than per se with other people. Maybe. Yeah?
Is it listed to the exclusion of man, or is it just saying that there's such a risk by a woman, why should we bother taking the risk? So they may know the key of Talmud Torah, they should learn despite the risk.
So that's a good question also. It's very hard to say that according to Rabbi Eliezer, or that the risk is only by men. By only by women. Because he just makes a statement. This is the nature of Torah. This is the nature of Torah, is that it teaches people trickery. So it teaches men trickery, teaches women trickery. So then we'll have to figure out what's the difference between the two of them. So he should say, all right, new takana, yesh koch b'yad hacham lakor davar men haTorah. No one's allowed to learn Torah, ever. Right? Maybe on Shavuos night, that's it. So So you could say such a thing, but it doesn't sound like that's what he's talking about.
The idea is that men should take the risk, and they should take the risk because they have a chivat Torah, like it's filling.
Maybe. Okay, so let's see the Tosfos here. Rotsa, we do them both, right? Let's do the Rotsa Isha first. I put that one first on the Maamar Kamos? I put the other one first. All right, let's do the other one then. So he quotes the Yerushalmi, and he says, not like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, he says, by Hakel, Anoshim, Anoshim, V'taf, Anoshim, Ba'alum, Anoshim, Lim, Shmoa, V'nired, the Pirish, the Mitzvah, Lishmoa, Hanoshim, Kidei, Sheyedu, L'kayim, HaMitzvah, V'lo, Mishim, Sheyedu, Zechus, Tola. Right? They should listen in order to do the mitzvah, not to know about the din Zechus, Tola. Fine. So that's we had that before also. I showed you that Tosfos, that's another raya for the Beis HaLevi, that the Tosfos pointed out from the Lashon of Hakel, that it's that you see when they say Nashim Lishmoa, it's not to learn Torah, because Lilmod is to learn. Lishmoa is just to know about the mitzvos. So that's not the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And Beis HaLevi said, oh, you see from here, Tosfos says we see don't paskin like Ben Azai, that women are not supposed to learn Torah, because if Lishmoa meant to learn Torah, it would have said Lilmod. It's just Lishmoa. What's Lishmoa? To know the mitzvos that are shayach to them. And since they know the mitzvos that are shayach to them, that's not Talmud Torah. That's the Beis HaLevi simple cheshbon. So you see, there's a raya that the mitzvah of knowing the mitzvahs that are the din of knowing the mitzvahs that are shayach to you is not a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Fine. Going to the next Tosfos. Rotsa isha bekav v'tiflus pirush benachana. Rotsa isha shehei baila chamar v'yehei matzui etzla b'kol Shabbos. So she'd rather he had a lesser job, but he's around. Right? I mentioned this a few days ago, that the Gemara in Ksuvis lists off the ona of every job. Certain jobs, they take you away, you know, you have some friends, they're in China all the time doing business in China, so they're not going to be around. You know, it's not fair for their wives to assume that they're going to be home every Shabbos if the flight to China itself and the flight back is already a whole week. So too, a woman would rather her husband make less money, bring home less food, but he should be around. Velo yehei gamol. He shouldn't be I don't know why one type of driver is around less. Shouldn't be a cross-country trucker. He should be a taxi driver who comes home every Shabbat, every week, but he shouldn't be a cross-country trucker that only comes home once a month. Right? So then Tosus goes in and says, this is not stam, Adam wrote Bekav Shalom Tisha Kaben Shel Chavero. It's not stam statement 1 to 9. He says if you look in the Gemara in Ksuvis, they talk about this as being a legitimate mathematical formula. Did you pick that up when you did the Tosfos? You didn't pick it up? Basically, a husband who now starts to, he says, I'm not going to live with my wife anymore, and he's not giving her ona anymore, so he has to subtract a certain cheshbon as a penalty. And he says, if you look at the proportions of the penalty, so that's the exact proportions that we're referring to over here. So you see that Rabbi Yoshua wasn't stam making it up. He was dafka talking about, the correct cheshbon of how a woman might equate ona to, she might equate ona to food, to support of some sort. Okay, so what are we talking about here, guys? What are we talking about here? What's Rabbi Yoshua really adding? So we said before, maybe we see that it's something that's on their radar, and therefore we're afraid that when they learn the Torah, they learn the trickery, so they're going to now use it to carry out this innate desire for tiflus. Is that what's going on here? That's what we're afraid of? I don't know. I'm not so convinced. First of all, Metzius is soser that. The Metzius is that men generally have much more of a... And their halachas based on that. It's not... It's not that this is a social thing versus a Torah thing. The Torah itself has many halachas based on the fact that men, their minds are much more in the gutter than women. You know, anybody use the word gutter anymore besides the thing that causes? It means in the trash, in the streets, right? So men have their minds in the trash, and women don't have so much their minds, much less than men. So women are so excited about tiflus and znus. And so then when they learn Torah, they're going to open up the what are we learning? Bab Metzia. Yes! Yes! We're going to start a whole, Znus party because we're learning Bab Metzia. It's very hard to understand such a thing. But, L'chorah, the Pashtus in Tosfos is that what's the difference between the kabin of food versus ona? What's the difference between the two? Meaning, if I stop you on the street and I say, listen, you want a marriage where your husband's going to be around a lot, or do you want to have, you want to live a more comfortable lifestyle and your husband be around less? So what's going to be the answer? It really depends on the person, right? It depends on the person. People make both choices. Right? A woman marries a guy who wants to become a senior partner in a law firm. She's making a commitment to not see her husband very often. Right? It's a true statement. You can have all the hasagas you want. You're not going to become the CEO of the universe and also be around with your kids all the time. It's not going to happen. So you have to make choices. Now, which type of person is going to make which choice? Which type of person is going to make which choice? Superficially, not getting into the depths of what every person's soul is. So what type of person is going to make which choice? The more logical person, the cold number cruncher type, is going to make the choice of what? Yeah, I want a better parnasa. Right? And I'll see my husband a little bit less. The more emotional person is going to make what choice? I want my husband around. I'm not getting married for love. I'm not getting married for a support system. Right? So that's the cheshbon that we're talking about here. What's Rabbi Eliezer really saying? He's saying that a woman is an emotional individual. She wants the loving marriage. She wants her husband to be around. She doesn't want financial independence and life independence. She would rather have less financial independence and have a husband than the opposite. Doesn't mean her mind is in the trash. Doesn't mean she's always thinking about immorality. Ona is not immoral. It's achi of daraisa. It's not immoral. It means that she is focused on the more emotional side of things. And whereas the husband is not necessarily that way. Generally speaking, if you want, again, there's exceptions to every rule, but it's more important to know the rule, that the husband is thinking, listen, I want to be a good husband. Most husbands think the definition of being a good husband is that the wife, first things first, the wife and kids should be provided for. That's the first thing. Right? Should you be there? Of course you should be there. But that can be more limited. It can be more limited. The financial side of things should not be so limited. So Rabbi Yehoshua is saying that there's something inherent of the nature of most women where they'll say, I would prefer that things be good emotionally and not necessarily that things should be good logically. I'd prefer that the marriage should be good, even if that quote unquote makes less sense. Yeah.
How does that have to do with anything about Talmud Torah?
Oh. How does that have to do with anything about Talmud Torah? Very good. Very good. Well, before we answer that question, I want to ask one more question. Do we usually paskin like Rabbi Eliezer? No. The Gemara tells us Rabbi Eliezer. Shamute, He is a shamute. What, two possibilities what that means. Okay, lemaisa, it means we very rarely pass like him. Now, maybe you can say that it's the Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yehoshua combo that we paskin like. Okay, possible. That, but what you have to then ask yourself is, are Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yehoshua arguing with each other? Or are they saying the exact same thing? Maybe they're not arguing with each other. Are they complimenting each other for different reasons? Or are they saying the exact same thing? You hear all those questions? Okay. Yeah.
Sounds like Rabbi Yehoshua. He's not saying that it's tiflis per se. What he's saying is it might not be a good idea to teach in Torah, which is more intellectual, whereas they are more emotional beings.
Right, but he uses the word tiflis, so he's clearly bouncing off of what Rabbi Eliezer has to say. Right? He didn't even bother to change the lashon. Right? He's making. So certainly in the context that it's being used here, it seems to be along the lines of some sort of sexual immorality. Right, I once read one of these Kirov articles that said they say they were equating tiflis with the lashon tufel, with a tess. Like, I think they were counting on any of the Bali Tshuva that they made never learning to read Hebrew. So I mean, people do stuff like that, and they were saying, no, it's because women don't have enough time to dedicate to learning, so therefore it's always going to be a secondary thing, and they're never going to be able to do a good job of it. So it's like, okay, if you want to lie about the Torah, lie about the Torah. If you're embarrassed and you think the way to get people to become from is by lying to them, so go right ahead. But it's a din of ziyufa Torah. You're not supposed to do things like that. Just because something in the Torah makes you uncomfortable doesn't mean you have to change it. So anyway, the tiflis in this case seems to clearly, definitely along Rashi and Tosfos' lines, it has some level of sexual immorality. Because they're talking about, Rashi's equating tiflis first, you know, being some kind of a trickery-based aveira, and then be something to do with the mitzvah of ona. So clearly it has a sexual connotation to it. Now, does that mean you have to take it literally, or Ben Azai or Rabbi Eliezer was just thinking of something that has a very negative sound to it? You know? Furthermore, you have to ask yourself another question, right? Rashi over here says, Ki'ilu, shemitocha himevina armumis va'osed varea bahatsneya. She's going to know trickery, and she's going to hide what she does. So what do you mean she's going to hide what she does? Hide what? The case of the sota? Every case? Nida? Meaning, are we talking locally within the case of the sota? That, in other words, you, Ben Azai, said the whole reason to teach women, the whole reason to teach women Torah was for cases like this, and I'm telling you, in your own case, the negative outweighs the positive. Because you think you're going to teach her how to, you know, respect the Torah more by understanding, and in reality, what? She's going to sin better. She's going to know all the tricks of the trade. So she'll be a better sota, and she'll be found innocent every time. She'll be able to admit to exactly what she needs to admit to so that she's not chayav misa, whatever the case is. So you could say that. Or you could just say, no, in general, when a woman sins, she's going to be able to hide it better. But again, that idea is of Kilu Malamda Tiflus is saying that once women receive this type of education, they're automatically going to turn it into a negative. Right? So this is one way you could look at it. That Rashi seems to be saying that either locally, within the concept of the Meis Sota, you shouldn't teach women to be too wise and tricky, because it's going to undo any of the positives that you think could have come from it. You think it's going to come to lahagdil Torah lahadira. It's going to be just the opposite. It's going to be magdil chait. That could be Rashi's take according to Rabbi Eliezer, and then Rabbi Yehoshua comes along and says, "Yeah, not so fast, because not so fast, excuse me. He's adding to it, he's saying that we know that's the nature of where a woman is, what a woman's interests are. So the Chor, according to Rashi, it's saying that Dafka, teaching her these inyanim will be gorim some sort of chait. Now, what you have to ask yourself is, before we get to what you have to ask yourself, let's talk about the Rambam for a second. Okay, now we've done the Gemara a little bit, and we're going to come back to the Rishonim we mentioned to try to get a bigger picture. But I think in order to get a good picture, we have to first do the Rambam. So the Rambam makes a chilik. What's the Rambam's chilik? Torah Shebaal Peh versus Torah Shebichsav. Right? We said that a father shouldn't teach his daughter Torah. Somebody have a Mada here? Is this Mada? Yeah, Mada. Thank you. So the Rambam says, Isha shalom de Torah yesh l'schar. Aval eino kischar ha'ish mipnei shalom nitztavis. She is not commanded, and therefore it's not as much schar because she's eino mitzuva v'yosa. Right? Skipping a little. V'yaf al b'sheyesh l'schar tzivu chacham shelo yilamid adam es bito Torah. The chachamim commanded that you shouldn't teach your daughter Torah. Mipnei sherov anashim ein daitan mechuvanos lehislamed v'hein motzi'in divrei Torah ledivrei havai lefi anios daitan. What did he just say? What did he just say? I don't think so. Yeah. She's not going to understand the Torah properly, and therefore she's going to think the whole thing is a joke. And then we said, Amru Chachamim kol amalamed esbito Torah ki ilalim de tiflus. That's only talking about Torah Shebaal Peh. Aval Torah Shebichsav lo yilamid osa lechadchila v'imlamda eina kimalamda tiflus. So he's saying, I'm not recommending teaching Torah Shebichsav, but if you do it, it's not bad. Yeah. Okay, I hear that. But for starters, we have to say the following, we have to ask the following question on the Rambam. Where is he getting any of his information from? Right? He's not learning the same Gemara we're learning. I think we did a halfway decent job trying to analyze the Gemara, at least according to a little bit Rashi Tosfos. And the Rambam's Gemara is... No, the reason that now I learn Torah is they're going to think the whole thing is a joke. And that's only Torah Shebaal Peh. Those two things are not in the Gemara at all. Right? How's the Rambam learning the Gemara? If I stop you after we learn the Gemara and I ask you, what's the pshat that women can't learn Torah? What would you say the answer is? What's the answer? Nah, but what's the reason the Gemara says? It's going to teach her to be a trickstress, right? She's going to be a tricky person. And Rashi says, so what does Rashi say about that? Yeah, she's going to do Averis and hide them. Okay? That's the Gemara. You want to say not like Rashi? So say like not like Rashi. It's clearly based on trickery, right? The Rambam comes along and says, no, it's all about misrepresenting the Torah. It's all about the Torah being treated like a joke. And then I'll ask you a second question. So what type of Torah is a woman not allowed to learn? All of it. Comes the Rambam and says, only Torah Shebaal Peh. What? Says, you know, but he said, but clearly says that Gemara wasn't talking about that. For whatever basis he has for saying don't learn Torah Shebichsav, that's not coming from this Gemara. Okay. So what's going on here, guys? Yeah?
If you understand like Rashi, it's just trickery. You should only learn trickery from Torah Shebichsav, not from Torah Shebichsav.
It's hard to say he understands like Rashi, when Rashi was pretty clear and he's pretty clear and they're not saying the same thing.
I mean, but he could go on the same premise that the issue is trickery. And if a woman learned Torah Shebichsav, they could learn trickery from Torah Shebichsav.
But it doesn't say trickery. He doesn't say it. He says something else. No?
He's not really specific as to what it says.
It's pretty specific. They're going to be motzi divrei Torah, the divrei havai, right? That it doesn't say trickery. Yeah.
The word anapikiras, the Rambam does have two phrases. First time motzi divrei Torah, divrei havai, and the next one about komalam bito Torah milan mitzvot. He doesn't have any connection word. He has a lefikach and a chain, a vina, a vav. He doesn't have. It sounds like maybe he's saying two different answers or two different concerns.
Maybe, but that just makes it worse. I feel like.
Question where he got
right from. Right. Yeah, so what do you say, guys? That's it? That's what we got? So look, let's go back a little bit. I think with this, armed with this Rambam, we can understand the Gemara much better. Right? So along the lines of what you guys were saying, first of all, where is the ikker trickery going to come from? Right, like you said. Where's the ikker trickery going to come from? So, yeah, the Pasuk says that Torah equals trickery. But it's going to come from the analytical side of Torah or the memorization side of Torah? Right, which one? It's going to come from the analysis of Torah. It's going to come from the analysis of Torah. Now, according to the Rambam, what is Torah Shebichtav? What is Mikra? Right, I gave you that other Rambam on the Maror Makomos. So what does he say over there? What does the Rambam say is Mikra? Anybody remember? Did anybody get a chance to see it? Anybody get a chance to see that Rambam? No, I didn't put it on. Oh, sorry. Right, that's also good. I left it off. I apologize. What? All of Tanakh is Mikra, right? Torah Shebichtav is... What? It was on the other one, sorry. Sorry, which halacha is it? It's Yud Aleph. Aleph Yud Aleph. V'chayev l'shalish is manly mudosh l'shdar. We're going to do that sugya next, hopefully. So then he says... Right? What should you do? Shlish b'tar shebichsav, shlish b'tar shebalpev, shlish yavin, v'yaskil ha'achris davar me'reshiso, v'yotzi davar midavar, v'yidam edavar ledavar, v'yavin b'mida shetar nedrez b'hem, ad sheyeda heich hu ikar amidos, v'heich yotzi osur v'amutter, v'chayotzi me'midivar shalom and p'ya shmua. V'inyin zeh nikra Talmud. Right? So what do we have? We have Mikra, we have Mishnah, or tar shebalpev. And then we have Lomdus, whatever you want to say, Psak Halacha, Lomdus, right? So that's called Talmud. That's called Talmud. And then in Halacha Yud Beis, he's skipping a little bit. So V'divrei Kabbalah B'chlal Tersh B'chsav Hein. What's Divrei Kabbalah? Nach is considered Tersh B'chsav. U'pirushon B'chlal Tersh B'alpeh. And the Perush on Tanakh, Rashi, Ramban, etc., is Tersh B'alpeh. Right? So, Mefarshim on Tanakh are Torah Shebaal Peh. So when the Rambam at the end of the Perek says, don't teach women Torah Shebaal Peh, he means don't teach them Rashi. Don't teach them Ramban. Not because of what some people say, oh, because Rashi's going to quote a Gemara, Chalila V'chas. Nonsense. Because Rashi is Rashi. And Ramban is Ramban. That's why. You understand? It's the Pirush on Tanakh is Torah Shebaal Peh. What is Mikra? What is the Rambam saying? It's okay if you teach women? Just the words. Just Tanakh. Just the words. I think Satmar does this out of Yom HaZeh. They only teach the words. They don't even learn Rashi, I don't think. Yeah. Right. I don't think the Tour wrote it. I think whoever wrote the copied down that edition of the Tour that the Beis Yosef had and that became popular, he made the mistake. He just wrote the wrong word. think, and you know, when you're dealing with handwritten copies, I think it happens. I don't think that's no, and that's what the Beis Yosef says. There's no logical way to explain this. He's like, it can't be true. So that's what the Beis Yosef says. It's like you can't learn the Torah like that. Yeah. Okay. Anyway. So the Rambam is saying you learn Tanakh, words of Tanakh, not bad. You learn Rashi, Radak, Ibn Ezra, Sforno, whatever, bad. Right? Malamdo Tiflis. So what are we talking about here? Yeah?
I have a question.
Okay, so before we get to that. So we're saying, the Rambam is saying she has to stay away from any and all analysis. She has to stay away from any and all analysis of the sugya. Right? It's not because, is he saying, it's not because there's something magical about Torah Shebichsav versus Torah Shebaal Peh, that if she opens up a Talmud Bavli, if it's not a photocopy, or if it's not a this, it's not the same. So it's saying that she's not supposed to analyze. Because when's she going to be okay? When she memorizes things, a person memorizes based on their memory. The end. The Pasuk says this, that's what it says. When you start to analyze, that's when you start getting yourself into trouble. Why does that get you into trouble? Because when your analysis only goes one third of the way there, two thirds of the way there, and then you don't make it to the conclusion, right? Then you're in big trouble. You know, they call that the Abarbanel problem. You ever heard that before? They said if you the Abarbanel problem, if you learn Abarbanel on Shabbos afternoon, you're going to become an Apikoros. Why? Because they already learned Abarbanel. They're very, very long, and he puts all the kashas in the front. So what happens? A guy, he eats a big Shabbos lunch. He says, okay, I should sit down to learn something. Let's learn some Abarbanel ala Torah, right? And he sits down, and he reads 10 bomb kashas, and then he falls asleep from the from the cholenden or whatever. It puts him to sleep, and he wakes up. So every Shabbos, the guy falls asleep, basically saying that this week's parsha makes no sense. Next week's parsha makes no sense. There hasn't been a parsha in the whole Torah that I couldn't just rip to shreds. You know, so eventually it becomes a big apikoros. So he doesn't get to the answers. So but that's really what we're talking about here. We're talking about someone who, they get involved in analysis, but they don't have the mind for it. They don't have the ability to do the analysis. And you see this all the time. You hear people, there's so many people, I'm only talking about men, so many people that I talk to, and you're just like, you'll give a shear about something, not here. I'm not saying that to make you guys feel better. I'm not talking about here. I'm talking about just stand places. I'll give a shear about something, and then someone will come up and ask me a particular question. There's certain people who want to ask, they always have to ask a question at the end of every shear, and there's certain people who always have to make a comment at the end of every shear. Most of the time, both of those people, well, sometimes not, both of those people have nothing to ask, and they have nothing to add. They just have to hear themselves say something. But oftentimes you can tell by the nature of the question or the nature of the comment that they totally did not understand what you were trying to say. You know, you said the word cousin in the middle of the shiur, and they're like, I also have a third cousin, Gevaldik. I'm like, were you even here? You know? Like, the questions and the comments that you get are so indicative of a complete lack of understanding. So those people could become dangerous because they heard three sentences in the middle of the shiur and they think that was the shiur. Those people could become dangerous. People who don't show up bichlal, so they're not dangerous. People who actually understand, they're not dangerous. The people who show up and hear three words, they're dangerous. Yeah. So I think the Rambam is assuming that that's not how the women were doing things. Tell me what it is. Torah says X, Y, Z. Let me be clear. You're not used to dealing with people who don't have an education. You think because you're trained to think. Saying like, I just read an article last week. They said 60%+ of NBA players are bankrupt within 2 years of their retirement. Now they make more, even if they stink, they make more in 1 year than you'll make in many years. Not you, you're going to make a lot, but no, I'm saying everybody else. right? So they make more in 1 year than the average well-to-do Jewish person who actually pays his tuitions makes in 20 years, you know, or maybe 2 years. So they're paying full tuition. And they have no expenses. They have meal allowances from their team. They don't pay for their travel. They don't pay for their hotel. They pay for nothing. And they lose the money. And it's not because they're stupid. They're not stupid. They just were trained from day one. You worry about taking 500 jump shots a day. You worry about hitting the weight room. You worry about, you know, watching game film. And we'll spend your money for you. You don't think about that. They're just not trained to think in that way. They don't understand what it even means to manage money. It's because they're just not holding b'chlal. I gave you this guy's example when we talked about the slave owner religion, right? The concept of a Jew buys an Eved Kanani and he converts him to Judaism. What if he doesn't want it? He doesn't know what that means. A person who's a slave doesn't know what it means to want something besides the wants of his master. That's what it means. That's what we say in Hallel from David HaMelech. Ani avdecha ben amasecha. I'm a second generation slave. I was born into slavery. I don't even know what it means to have a ratzon that's not the ratzon Hashem. If I was a first generation slave, it could be I had a life and then I got captured and now I feel really, really bad about the fact that my life now stinks and I'm a slave. No, I'm a second generation slave and I don't even know what it means to have a ratzon of my own because they're not trained to think that way. Right? I'm saying, by the way, if you have that perspective, you can understand the Dor HaMidbar much, much better. When you understand that they're fifth, sixth generation slaves, they don't know what it means to have a normal ratzon. They just don't think the way we think. Yeah.
If we hold the two subjects, the reason why we're all in the Torah is because of history, and then also we hold the subject that we just teach them sukkim and now like the explanations. Then how do we we learn in the fifth paragraph of Rachel Smith when it came to Chana, she told Hashem, if you don't give me a choice, I'm going to pretend to sleep with
anybody.
Right.
Anybody.
And you want to pretend it, and then they're going to.
She's going to drink the mesod.
And then they're going to drink the mesod because it's in the positive of this. So you see, Ramir, that using this psukim, you can still use it for trickery. So then how does that help you?
Yeah, well, first of all, if you take the Medrash literally, you take the Gemara literally, so Chana clearly knew her stuff. You know? I don't think that was only from
a... It was a clear pasuk. It wasn't like she...
Right. But she was clearly a highly intelligent... She's clearly a highly intelligent female prophetess, you know? And it's quite possible that, you know, if you told Chana, you know, Rabbi Eliezer hold, you shouldn't have learned that. So she's like, too bad, I'm Chana, you know, I get to argue in Rabbi Eliezer. So I don't know the answer. I'm just saying it doesn't really bother me that much.
You told you that the psukim does have like a huge meaning and you could learn how
to... Yes, if that's what you do. You understand? If that's what you do. If what you do is weave clothing, again, you have to understand something. Talk to people in learning. You know, you talk to a guy in psychology, a psychologist who also is into learning. Oftentimes, you get a lot of shatim based on psychology. You talk to a number cruncher and learning, he gives you a lot of explanations based on accounting and number crunching. People analyze things based on what they do. If women were task-oriented in those days, tasks are things that you accomplish. They're not things necessarily that you analyze. A woman, in chochmal isha el bepelech, means that they're task-oriented. They know how to do things. I couldn't weave anything to save my life. If you wanted me to explain, you know, how it works, it still doesn't make me able to weave anything. You could give me a whole shiur on how to weave something, I'm still not going to be able to do one stitch. Because it's a task. You understand? It's not an analysis. They were task-oriented people.
Saying like
if you're saying the whole reason for trickery, then it should be like the opposite, because the Pirushim is like whatever, but like the actual stuff.
I'm just telling you, you're not coming at it from the right perspective. If the task is memorize Tanakh, they will memorize Tanakh. That's it. Now, in other words, look at it with kids. Look at kids do the Zilberman thing. They memorize the Parsha. They memorize Tanakh. You start the Pasuk, they end the Pasuk. It doesn't bother them that they don't know what's flying. It bothers them not at all. They love it. They love the sense of accomplishment. They love because their minds are not yet misugal to do analysis. Children learning Gemara is like a huge avla, because except for the fact that when we teach kids that age Gemara, they're not learning Gemara anyway. They're just learning how to read and translate. But it's not, it's because their minds aren't ready for it. They're not doing what Gemara means. All right, we're gonna run out of time. Yeah, one more? Yeah.
Yeah, so according to the Rambam, if there was a woman who had analytical,
Oh, what is he? He says Rove. That's how we roll, no? That's how we do things. Yeah. Well, so let's be clear. All right, so let's move on. I want to finish the actual limud of the Gemara, and then we'll just say stuff at the end. Okay. So so how's the Rambam learning the Gemara? Meaning, what does this have to do with trickery? So La'aniyas Daiti, I think the pshat the Rambam is learning from the Gemara is that the Rambam is saying that there's two separate things here. There's Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. Is Rabbi Eliezer's opinion that women are going to learn trickery from the Torah. Why? Why is the Torah going to affect women in this negative way? It's not going to affect men. The Rambam is saying it's going to affect women negatively because they're not trained in analysis. And what? And what? They're just going to get two lines here, two lines there from the shir. They're going to follow the analysis a quarter of the way, a third of the way, halfway. They're going to have the Abarbanel problem. You understand? That's a problem. It's not dafka that then they're going to learn how to sin better. No, what it means is that the Torah is misugal to teach you trickery if you don't really chop it. It's right there with the Torah is this element of trickery. If you don't fully understand the Amita Shel Torah, you're going to misunderstand it. It's going to be like a book of trickery. It's going to be a book of immorality, of nonsense. Not like Rashi, that they're going to learn how to sin better. And that takes care of the kasha. So then why are men allowed to learn Torah? Men are allowed to learn Torah, not because they're more chayav to learn Torah, not chayav to learn Torah. Men are allowed to learn Torah because they are trained in these areas of learning, and therefore there's less of a chashash that they're going to misunderstand. If you're going basarov, there's less of a chashash that they're going to misunderstand. Rashi would say, no, that's not the pshat. It's not the pshat. It's because they're actually going to sin. So why are men allowed to do it? So says the Maharsha. You guys saw that Maharsha? He said, well, what does the Maharsha say? What? Right, meaning there is a positive side to the trickery as well. Right? So men who are living in the world and they need to be able to outsmart people. They know they have a positive outlet for that trickery. Women who are at home, they don't have a positive outlet for that trickery. Well, who are they going to trick? Their husbands, their kids? That's not good. A man, he's out in the business world. He needs to be sly. He doesn't need to be a liar. He doesn't need to be, he says, he needs to understand how people think. He needs to understand it. Women, they have no outlet for it in a positive way. So it's a different analysis altogether. It's not about, so according to Rashi, it's about what will happen to you. As a person, you will become a worse person for learning Torah. What about according to the Rambam? Is it about what's going to happen to you? I think it's what's going to happen to the Torah. Right, the Rambam is saying they're going to be motzei divrei Torah ledivrei havai lefi choser avanasam lefi aniyus daitam. Why? So who cares? So what? Who cares? What's the most important mitzvah in the Torah? What's the most important mitzvah in the Torah? There's an easy answer. Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah, Keneged Kulam. Right? It's the most important mitzvah in the Torah. It's not. There's a more important mitzvah in the Torah. There's a more important mitzvah in the Torah. What's the most important mitzvah in the Torah? Kavod HaTorah. Kavod HaTorah. It's more important. Right? For those of you who are doing the daf, right? Gimel Amid Beis, Vazot. Kavod HaTorah the Yachid is Chamur. Talmud Torah the Yachid is Kal. Or Talmud Torah is Kal? Right? Talmud Torah is Kal? No, Talmud Torah can be Kulam. Compared to Kavod HaTorah, it's Kal. Kavod HaTorah is more Chomer than Talmud Torah. Right? Gemara and Brachas, right? Dav Zayin and Mebez, I think. Gedola, Shimusha Shel Torah, Yoser Milimuda. Right? So that doesn't only mean Kavod HaTorah, but part of it means Kavod HaTorah. Kavod HaTorah is greater than Talmud Torah. So if it stands to reason, what is the worst avera in the Torah, based on what we just said? What's the worst avera in the Torah? Zilzul HaTorah. Disgracing the Torah is the worst avera in the Torah. Right? You could say, if Limud HaTorah is the biggest mitzvah, so you could say Bittul Torah is the biggest avera. But if Kavod HaTorah is the biggest mitzvah, Zilzul HaTorah is the biggest avera. So if you say, so what if someone thinks the Torah is stupid, Chas V'Shalom? So what? So what? That's literally the worst thing in the world. It's the worst thing in the world for there to be a lot of people or even one person going around thinking the Torah doesn't make any sense and it's foolish. We're certainly not going to set up a system that leads to that. Hang on. We're not going to set up a system which leads to Zilzul and Kavod HaTorah. And I think that is the Shita of the Yerushalmi as well. What's the Lashon of the Yerushalmi? Tisraf HaTorah. Tisraf HaTorah. What the Tosfos quotes it, right? Right? Yisrafu Divrei Torah Val Yimsur Divrei Torah Lenashim. Better to burn the Torah than to give it to the women. What does that mean? Not because of what it's going to do to the women. Dafka, we're looking at it from the perspective of the Torah. We're looking at it from the perspective of the Torah, guys. If it's a zilzul in Kavod HaTorah, it makes sense. Better to burn the Torah than to disgrace it. If you're looking at it from the, right? You could say, it doesn't say Yisru HaNoshim Val Yitnenom Lilmod, right? It says Yisru HaTorah. Because if you're going to disgrace the Torah, it's the worst thing in the world. Better to burn the Torah than to disgrace it. Right? Better to do neither. So, there's good, better, and best there. So okay. So, Lanias Daiti, that's the pshat in the Shita of the Rambam, which is, as you saw, is the accepted Shita in the Shulchan Aruch. But again, Rashi's way of learning the Gemara seems to be that it's an explanation of what's going to happen to the women. You're doing women a disservice by allowing them to learn Torah. Right? Are we going to then be mechalik between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaalpeh? You could still totally argue that we're still going to be mechalik between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaalpeh because the real armimus in Torah is in the Torah Shebaalpeh. But you don't have to make that chiluk. And then you have to understand, so what's so great about men learning it then? So you have to say something along the lines of the Marsha, that it's not going to affect the men. Not because the men won't learn trickery, but because the trickery is not going to affect them as badly due to their social situation, perhaps. But, according to the Rambam, the trickery is not the end all of what we're worried about. We're worried, meaning we're saying that what's the difference between women and men? If you misunderstand the Torah, that's what leads to trickery. It's not a clear understanding of Torah is not necessarily the trickery understanding. if you have a good understanding of Torah, it won't lead to that. Right? Why are we afraid that that will happen to women? As Rabbi Yoshua says, because a woman has that way of looking at things. She wants one kav and tiflus versus nine kavim and no tiflus. She's not misugelet. She's not misugelet to understand things that way. So what we now have to figure out, just because I'm totally out of time, what we now have to figure out is, so who is this talking about? Who is this talking about? Is this a statement of the, this is Chazal's evaluation of the nature of women? Or is it, no, it's not just a Gzeiras HaKosuv or a Takonas Chachamim and, it's Yehurig Val Yavur. It's that we can understand it in context. So based on the Lashon of the Rambam, it seems very, very clear that it's a statement in the nature of what women are all about. And I don't think it's a statement of the nature of what women, I think it's a statement of what we're afraid will happen if women do it. Rov Nashim ein daitan mechuvanos lehislamed. So you have two possibilities. Number one, he says Rove. And number two, does the Rambam hold women aren't allowed to learn Torah? Doesn't say b'di'evid they can. He says b'di'evid you can teach them. Yes. He started off specifically, the Rambam fits in perfectly with the Maril that we saw. Right? The Maril said, a woman learns Torah, she gets schar like in a mitzvah v'yosa. And Chazal said to the fathers, don't teach your daughters Torah. Why does he phrase it that way? Why does he phrase it that way? Why does he phrase it that way? Because he's saying, if a woman sits down to learn Torah, there's nothing wrong with that. How do I know that there's nothing wrong with that? Because who shows up to learn? Lemaisa. When you don't force a kid to learn, who shows up to learn? Someone who wants to understand. Who doesn't show up to learn? Somebody who was otherwise being forced. So if a woman sits down to learn, she's clearly interested and, at least in her own mind, capable. Right? So that's the Rambam saying exactly what we saw in the Maril. It's not Malamda Tiflis if she learns on her own. Nobody ever said that. And that's the Lashon of the Mishnah. Melamed bito Torah melamda tiflus. Not isha shelomda hareze tiflus. If she is able and capable of understanding the learning properly, then there, then she will be successful. And it's not going to be tiflus at all. That's clear from the Lashon of the Rambam. It's clear from the way we saw the Maril. Right? And that's why the Prisha says what he says. The Prisha says, if the father sees in his daughter herself that she's capable, if the father sees in the daughter herself that she is capable, he is allowed to teach her Torah. Right? The Prisha's wife was very learned. Prisha's wife has two famous Piskei Halacha, and both written by the... It's misunderstood because the son of the Prisha wrote the introduction to the Sefer. So people say, oh, the mother of the Prisha said this. It's not. It's the mother of the son of the Prisha, which is actually his wife. Right? So the wife of the Prisha was an extremely learned woman. And so he saw with his own eyes that there could be a woman who knows how to learn very, very well. And has nothing to do. He says, you want to say the rove don't know how to learn very well? Okay, so you have to look who's the rove, who's the miut. Right? And that idea is along the lines of what led the Chafetz Chaim to say what he said, right? The Chafetz Chaim, I put it in English, I think that's Rabbi Moshe Weinberger's translation. I'm not 100% sure about that. He wrote an article in the RJJ Journal about teaching women Torah. But the Chafetz Chaim said in the times of the Beis Yaakov movement forming, he said, the idea that women don't need to learn Torah is only a case where it wasn't necessary for their basic observance of mitzvahs, meaning we know women have a chiyuv to learn the mitzvahs that are shayach to them. Right? So what does that mean? It means they need to learn enough to know how to keep the Torah. But what happens when no one's keeping the Torah? If they're not going to keep the Torah anyway, so then they have to learn enough Torah that's going to make them want to and actually succeed at keeping the Torah. You hear? It's not so. It doesn't necessarily have to be the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. But if you say that a woman is not going to learn, so or she'll learn only Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, Hilchos Shabbos, Hilchos Kashrus, but she's not going to have any drive, any desire to become a religious Jew, so then what are you accomplishing? The whole goal of Limud HaTorah for women is that they should keep the Torah. So if that's not going to be accomplished only by learning Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, you might have to teach them more Torah. I'll read you the quote from, Ike got me from a different sefer, but I think based on looking at the English, it's Lechor, it's a correct quote. Word for word. He says, they're not allowed to learn Torah Shebal Peh. Right? V'nira, d'kol zeh dafka bizmanim shelefoneinu. That's in the earlier generations. Shekol echor o yadar b'makom avosav v'kabolas avosav oisa chazaka me'od. That's when, what did you even know? You knew what your fathers taught you. You had a strong connection. Right? Going a little further, it quotes the pasuk Shalavicha v'yagedcha, b'zeh ayinu yecholim lomar shelo tilma Torah v'tismoch b'anhagas avoseinu ayisharim. Then we could say a woman has no reason to learn Torah; she could just rely on the Mesorah that she has. Avol ka'es b'avon aseinu arabim shekabolos avos nisro fefes ma'od. People don't respect their parents anymore the way they used to, and it's very weak. The link to the parents is very weak, and they don't live in the same areas. Ubefrat osin shemargil asolumod, right? Ksav eloshin amim, and people are learning secular studies. Bevadai mitzvah rabba lelamdon chumish v'gam neviim uksuvim umusare chazal kigon mesechta avos v'sefer menoras hamaor v'kadome. They should certainly learn Tanakh and the musar of Chazal. Like Mishnayos, Pirkei Avos, and Menoras HaMaor. K'dei sheyis'ameis etzlon inyan emunaseinu ha-kedosha, di'ilav achi alu sheyisru miderech Hashem v'yavru al kol yisorei adas, chas v'shalom. They're going to throw it all away if they don't learn Torah. Right? They're going to throw the whole thing away. So forget about learning the halachas that are shayach to them, not shayach to them. If they don't learn what they need to learn to keep them on the derech, so then, what are they going to do anyway? They're going to have nothing. Right? You hear the Chofetz Chaim? So the question is that enough? Bizman hazeh? So I don't claim to know the answer to that. I am certainly no expert in men's education, and I'm certainly not an expert in women's education. But many have stated that what the Chofetz Chaim was concerning himself about is what? He was concerning himself about just basic emuna, mesorah, staying on the path. Right? But what is the Rambam's real chashash? Motziin divrei Torah ledivrei havai. Zilzul haTorah. So let me ask you something. If a woman learns Tanakh, Musar, is she going to respect the Torah when she's also learning AP Bio and physics and chemistry and existential philosophy? Now you could argue, what's the big mitzvah to learn those things? Enachinami, I don't know what the mitzvah is to learn those things, but they're doing it anyway. They're doing it anyway. You can't make the most basic of parnassas without having taken basic sciences, math, social studies, and hopefully a person will understand those on a high level. So if you're understanding secular wisdom on a high level and your Torah wisdom is on an extremely low level, I think that's a bigger pirtza in the Mesorah than anything. That's a bigger zilzul HaTorah than anything. Yeah, they have Torah, that's for babies, God forbid, and there's Torah for babies, and then there's secular studies for smart people. Right? So once we've learned our little midrash says, we can then, learn quantum physics. Right? No, the Torah is in every way, shape, or form as advanced and even much more advanced than anything else that's going on out there. And you have to understand that. And in order to really just get a sense of that, you need to study things properly. Now, does it mean that every girl has to learn Perek Ben Sora Mora, which is no halacha l'maaseh ramifications for them whatsoever? They dafka have to learn Bava Basra, Hilchos Nachlos, I don't know, whatever. Individual educators can decide these things for themselves. I don't know the answer. But I'm just saying that the concept of forcing women to learn, although we said that, and the Maril stresses that that's a violation of Kilim Alam de Tiflis, putting in the curriculum, even the Parisha didn't go so far as to say put it in the curriculum. He said the whole issue is only to put it in the curriculum, is to force the girls to learn Torah. But if the girl sits down and wants to learn Torah, of course you can learn Torah with her. But the idea is, oh, by the way, don't let anybody tell you, oh, it just meant the girl can learn it on her own, right? What's the bigger chashash that she's going to be motzi the whole thing levatola? If you say, like, listen, daughter, I would love to learn with you, but I'm not allowed to. See, you're on your own, kid. Just here's a Gemara, go, right? Is that what they were talking about? I mean, if you take the words literally, that could be what it. No, it means if a girl sits down and says, can I learn with you? So she's basically saying, I want to learn. I want to learn. So if you're saying, I want to learn, so you'll have to learn with her. It doesn't mean like you have to say to her, all right, here's a Hebrew Aramaic dictionary, go figure it out. No, you're allowed to teach her at that point. But it's just saying, don't force it on them. They'll put it in the curriculum that every girl has to do this. You hear? So just I know I'm over time. I apologize, but just to finish up, so the modern day debate about women learning Gemara, should they dafka learn Seder Moed? Should they learn Noshim Nezikim? I don't know. You could have your own opinion on that. I certainly have an opinion on it, but it doesn't matter. Saying like the bottom line is the goal of the learning should be at this point to say if you're going to learn Torah, realize the godless and the vastness of the Torah. Realize how advanced Torah is. Realize how broad and how deep it is. And you'll see that you can have the greatest amount of kavod for Torah even if you're not the world's biggest Talmud Chacham. Or if you are, you have even greater kavod for the Torah. So that's the yesod. We're still trying to solve the same problem that the Rambam was concerned about. We're trying to solve the problem of we don't want anybody to be motzi divrei Torah ledivrei havai. That's the idea. But I don't think there was ever a specific zera that was made existentially that that there's something wrong. And therefore, like, why people dance around things, and like why you have certain seminaries that they'll learn Rashi with Gur Aryeh, but they won't learn a Gemara. I don't know. I think that's just more along the lines of just we're afraid of new things. We go slowly, slowly, slowly. We don't just break down all the fences. We take things one step at a time. Is it officially better to learn a photocopy of a Gemara on a source sheet than it is to learn a Gemara with a hard cover? Of course not. I think they're just saying that, like, we're not looking to. We're always afraid. We're always afraid to break down the fences of Masorah because we respect our Masorah, and we don't. But lemaisa lefi anius daiti, the reason for women's learning being the way it is bizman hazeh is dafka not a disrespect for the Masorah. It's the ultimate kiyum of the Masorah. It's the ultimate kiyum of what will lead to people being frum in the future. Right, I heard this last year, 2 years ago, I think, from Rabbi Shulman from YU, Rabbi Elia Baruch Shulman. He said that every change you find in Klaizer, we don't do changes. Chadash Asur Min HaTorah was the famous Melitza of the Chasam Sofer. Right? We don't do changes. What do? Every change that we do is really Lahachzir HaTorah LeYoshna. It's really to bring back the good old glory days. Right? So nowadays, with women learning, the goal of the women's learning is dafka to give them greater kavod to the Torah, to give them a greater sense of Masorah. What we were afraid of, that they would disgrace and disparage the Mesorah, now, dafka, by learning, they'll be Mekayim. It's really the same halacha as the Rambam. It's not any different. So people say, oh, you have no sources. I have the same source. I just actually read it carefully. All right, anyway, there's more to say, but we'll leave it at that.
Earlier in this year, about like the idea psychologically, since they're task doers, like, you know, so like now today, like you're at the end of this year, how they go into professions, you know, they study secular studies on a very high level. So like now their minds are actually more cultured to thinking on analytic level.
Correct, that's the idea.
So like, you know, they're definitely, maybe it's not recommended, maybe there's no need, it's not necessary teaching for them, maybe it's a novelty, but it's definitely, it seems like it's nothing you're going to lose from teaching it to them.
Oh, you can lose it if they don't take it seriously.
I mean, you have guys that don't take it seriously.
Right, so that's why I threw in the business with the tefillin. That's what you were saying before. Meaning, we have an achrayus to try to teach Torah to men on the highest level possible. We know that sometimes there's going to be a Talmud Sheino Hogu, and sometimes... But no, and by the way, that I didn't get to that part just because I ran out of time. But that's the whole yisod with Talmud Sheino Hogun, that you're not allowed to teach Torah.
I think it's just a great idea, like the system, like where they offer it to girls. So like at a certain age, once they mature, they can see, is this something that I want to do?
Yeah, but let's face it, what they were teaching to them before, the whole thing, Gemara, no Gemara, that's just it's a nonsensical chiluk.
True, true.
It's a random line in the sand that they drew. In other words, the Chofetz Chaim was telling the idea was is that the educator has to understand what will lead to a greater sense of Mesorah and Yerushalayim. That's all. So in other words, somebody took a checklist of every sefer in the Beis Medrash and said, this one good, this one no good. Maybe, I don't know. But like, it doesn't seem like if you do this, dafka, you're being Mekayim the Chofetz Chaim. If you do this, you're going against the Chofetz Chaim. I don't think that's the case at all.
I'm saying like, if the girls want to learn Lundus, then, you know, I just like the idea that they give them the option. I don't like the extreme that they don't offer it. I don't like the extreme that they force it either. I think, like, you know, the idea is that what Rama mentions, if a girl by her own initiative wants to learn it, then she should be offered that opportunity.
Okay, well, that's what everybody seems to hold. Unless you learn like Rashi, that it's dafka.
Right.
But in other words, Rashi doesn't have enough to say for us to know what he would say in more hypothetical scenarios.
Right.
He's just explaining the Gemara. But Lamaisa, the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch, they paskin all like Rashi, so they're like
also,
the Rambam.
There's also Ben Azai out there still. I mean, we don't. Nobody paskin.
I'm saying Rambam, Tosfos both don't paskin like Ben Azai.
Right. It is interesting, though, like even amongst the Tanoim, you still have a Tana out there who says, yeah, teach him Torah.
You have a Shita and Tanoim for everything, you have a Shita and Rishonim for everything. It's a slippery slope. You don't want to. There's always all these chuvas.
Oh, no, I'm not
they
Azai.
Dig up Shitas that say things that are ridiculous, and then they say, oh, you see, there was a valid opinion, is it?
Oh, no, I'm not saying it's not about Lamaisa. I'm just saying it's fascinating to note that it's not like a modern invention. Like, there was such an idea back then.
Yeah.
You know?
No, there was.
It's not like we pulled it out of a hat.
Right. Right. Okay.
All right. Thank you.